Thanks, Cass. Thanks, worship team. Bless you guys. Appreciate you all leading us this morning and all of our tech teams and sound and everything. They serve us every week. They're so awesome. What a blessing. We are blessed to be here this morning. You get the prize. Extra bonus points. Extra blessing. Bless you. You did it. You got here for the 9 o'clock service. Our worship team got here a lot earlier than that. They've been here since 7, which is more like 6. Might as well not even go to bed. Just come straight to... No. It wasn't that bad. Well, I'm happy to be here with you, and I'm excited about this message today. We've been sharing about unshakable peace. And by the way, there's also people in a... before I start in that, there's also people in a baptism class this morning getting ready for next week. If you need to be baptized, please talk to us. But we've been in this series on unshakable peace, and we're jumping into part 4 today. And we know the Lord wants our lives to be anchored in this peace that isn't the peace the world gives, but it's this unshakable peace. And we know His plans for us are wholeness, not brokenness. In week 1, we talked about the God of peace, that He is our peace, that He is the Prince of Peace, that He is the God of peace. He's not just a God that has peace, but He's the God of peace. In week 2, we talked about the peace of God and how followers of the peace of God, the God of peace, should be filled with the peace of God. And last week in part 3, we looked at peace with God. And that's the foundation for all of our experience in terms of really living in peace. Peace with God is because of the cross, it's because of the blood of Jesus brought into spiritual union and relational connection. We came across this really wonderful translation of Colossians 1, verse 21 and 22. It really sums up peace with God by saying this: even though you were once distant from Him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, He reconnected you. Everyone say, He reconnected you. He reconnected me. He reconnected you back to Himself. He released His supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of His own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in His presence. And now, right here, in this moment, right now, this is what peace with God means. Now, there is nothing between you and Father God, for He sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. I want to, before I get into part 4, and this is going to tie into part 4, it all ties into this all goes together, actually. But as we get into part 4 today, I want to just highlight this truth that there's something about peace that is in the present. It's in the now. It's not just in my past. It's not just in my future. It's right now. This phrase says, and now. There's nothing between. It's not something I'm hoping to have. It's something that I have right now. There's something about being about peace that liberates me to be fully present with God in this moment, in the now. There's something about fear and worry that either connects me to my past or to my future, and I'm afraid of what has happened will happen again, or I'm worried about the future, and those things are robbing me from this present moment. But when I'm fully present, I can encounter God in this moment. And every time I encounter God in this moment, it becomes something eternal. So there's just something about peace that's so vital for us to be anchored in. And today we're gonna get into part 4, and we've talked about the peace of God, we've talked about peace with God, and today is going to be about peace with yourself, or having peace within, or inner peace. We're not leaving God out of the equation. Peace with God is the foundation for this, but He wants us to have peace within ourselves. He wants us to have peace, inner peace. And you've heard a quote probably in different ways. We've taught about it. You've heard it maybe through different books or speakers, but it's a really true statement. And the reason we need to have peace within ourselves is because the world within you will create the world around you. The world within you will create the world around you. So whenever we're talking about God's kingdom, it's always an inside-out job, not an outside-in job. When you're born again, you're born again. It's something that happens in your spirit, and there's this inside out thing that happens. Whenever we get into an outside in mode, our anxiety just goes through the roof. We're comparing, we're trying to get our identity from the world around us, and it just we're not meant to be like that. Everything comes out, it's an inside out thing. It comes out of our security as sons and daughters, delighted in by our Father, loved by the Lord. And we're secure in that place, and it's this inside-out thing. Okay. Now, let me also just add this in. We know that forgiveness, as we talked about peace with God, forgiveness was such a crucial part of that. And we haven't really gotten into this too much yet, but peace with each other, forgiveness is an important part of moving into reconciliation, right? How many of you know that at the same time, if forgiveness is important to have peace with God, receiving that forgiveness, and forgiveness is important to have peace with each other, I would also propose to you that forgiveness is important to have peace with yourself. Like, you need to forgive yourself. Some people know God's forgiven them, even others have forgiven them, but they haven't forgiven them. And because they haven't forgiven themselves, they're living bound to the regret of what has happened. And now they're stuck in the past instead of being in the present with the Lord and what he wants to do right now. And they're being robbed of God's goodness because they don't have peace with themselves. And there's a missing piece that's there. P-E-A-C-E, a missing piece, all right? Yeah, I know. But you'll remember it. It's the title of today's message. Okay. I found something. I'm one of those people that's like, I don't know. Anybody done the Enneagram test? Okay. If you have, awesome. If you haven't, it's okay. It's one of those. You can take it online. It's the short version is free. One of my Enneagram numbers, not to get into too many details, but I can be a little bit of a perfectionist. And what that means is when I make a mistake, I'm extra hard on myself and extra disappointed in myself. And I found this fun little exercise, and I don't do it all the time. It's not a constant thing. But sometimes it's a fun way to add some humor plus genuinely invite the Lord's grace into a situation where I simply step back and say, it's okay, I forgive me. Or if I'm talking with Rachel and I've done something, I forgot something or whatever, and you know, we're working it out, sometimes it's just fun to say, it's okay, babe, I forgive me. And again, I don't play that card often, but for me, it's when I first time I did that, I felt strangely liberated. Like I felt like I was stepping into grace in that moment because I was actually being really hard on myself for a mistake that I had made, and I needed to be kind to myself, honestly. Like, if Jesus is kind to you, I want to tell you that you can be kind to you. If Jesus has shown you grace, you can show yourself grace. If he's shown you mercy, you can show yourself mercy. And you know what? When you learn to show yourself mercy, you're going to be so much better at showing other people mercy. So, so much better. So all of us will be. Because we're going to be anchored in a peace within ourselves that we're able to share. Remember, the world within you will create the world around you. Let's go back to this anchor verse in John 14:27. It'll be up here on the screen. And I lost a little bit of space in the notes today, so I don't have it written there. But I want you just to understand this is the anchor that we're going to be jumping off of today. We're building the message around this verse. And we shared this in the first week, and it's just something that there's so much in it. But Jesus, when he's about to go to the cross and pay the price that we just read about in Colossians 1, he's speaking to his disciples. It's these intimate moments of fellowship and sharing his the heart of heaven with them, sharing this deep revelation of relationship with God with them and the coming of the Holy Spirit and all of that. In that context, he says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, my peace I give to you. Point number one on the inside cover, is that when Jesus said, "My peace I give to you," he was talking about the peace that he himself lived in. There was a peace that I know in part two, Jesus is sleeping in the boat, that kind of peace, that kind of ridiculous peace that passes understanding. Jesus was telling his disciples, "I'm giving you that kind of peace. It's a supernatural peace that you are going to be anchored in. It's not the peace the world gives. It's my peace. And I'm giving that peace that I live in and walk in, my own inner peace as the Prince of Peace. I'm giving that to you. It's going to be imparted and transferred to you as a part of my sacrifice for you." That's incredible. I don't know how many of us live with that peace that Jesus has given, but I want you to see this verse and say this with me. That is my inheritance. It's your inheritance. It's my inheritance. That kind of peace. It's amazing. The world in which Jesus lived didn't know peace. They had Roma Pax. They had Rome's version of peace, but they didn't have kingdom peace, not God's version of peace. And I want you to know that Jesus lived in an occupied country with Roman soldiers that could do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, to the citizens there. And they didn't know peace. Yet no matter how hard the powerful tried, they could never steal the peace of Jesus. No matter what circumstance came his way and what people said about him and how people were interacting around him, Jesus never lost his peace. He had unshakable peace rooted in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And he said, "That peace I give to you." So our only hope for peace in the world around us starts with the world within us. Our hope for the peace, I mean, isn't it a good thing to want world peace? I mean, hopefully we want world peace. Like, gee, yes. It's like the beauty contest answer, like, what? World peace. Okay, that's what I want to have. We should, like, yeah, wanting peace in the world, that's like absolutely in the heart of God. He is the Prince of Peace. But we need to know that that starts within us. And that inner peace inside of our hearts, it's not going to come without a struggle. It's not just automatic, and we don't get it by passively sitting around and just trying to still ourselves and calm ourselves into nothingness, and finally I achieve peace. It actually is something. The Bible says we labor to enter into his rest. There's a pursuit and an intentionality around moving in to this peace that is ours by inheritance. Isn't it interesting? So often the things that the Bible promises, like for example with the children of Israel, he gave them an inheritance, but they had to fight to get it. And most things in the kingdom of God are like that. We've been given a promise, but there's this struggle of faith as we move into that promise. Now, I'm not talking about striving. I'm talking about intentionality. I'm talking about how there's forces at work that don't want you to have peace. And so there's going to be a struggle through those things to step into peace, and a struggle through our own issues to move into that. But you know, it's an incredible promise. So here's what I want to show you. With that phrase, "let not your heart be troubled," he was telling us that there would be a struggle, that there would be a battle to take our peace. And he was telling us that we have a choice in that struggle, and we have grace to win in that struggle. Come on, somebody. Say amen. Like, when he said "let not," he's saying, if you can let not your heart be troubled, you can also let your heart be troubled. It could go one of two ways. So you're going to need to make a choice in this, and I'm empowering you to make that choice, and I'm giving you the grace to win. That felt good to say. God's giving you the grace to win in life. And grace to win in the battle and in the struggle. Okay, grace to win. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I want you to think about this for a moment and think about this struggle a little bit. Because in our world today, there are so many incredibly talented and gifted and amazing and extraordinary human beings that are paralyzed by anxiety and overwhelmed by stress and bound in depression. And it's like have everything but not peace. It's not just people that are struggling to make ends meet. It's people that have everything. And it's like there's this epidemic of anxiety and worry. And believers are not unaffected by these trends either. And a growing number of men and women who have never even gone to war are being diagnosed with PTSD. Legitimately diagnosed. And there's also a lot of people self-diagnosing that. But I've talked to a number of people that are like, I have PTSD. I'm like, okay. Maybe. Be careful not to self-diagnose. But I'm saying a lot of people are being legitimately diagnosed with that, that have never been to war because they've been, maybe because of their exposure to trauma. I think maybe this is a post 9/11 thing. I mean, we were all glued to our screens for days watching the World Trade Center collapse in front of our eyes. I mean, that's trauma that happened to our country. I don't know if it's that or just everyday exposure. You think about all kinds of stuff that's going on in our generation that is just, it really honestly is traumatic and it's terrorizing. But it's not just that. There's other dynamics at work, you know. As I mentioned before, we will never live in shalom as long as we are looking to the world around us to create our identities from the outside in. That's another reason. We're like, it's like, okay, FOMO, fear of missing out, that's a real thing. Like, we live in this world where it's so easy to see everybody's life and all the best moments of their life and kind of feed on that on our news feed. And we're feeding on our news feeds of everybody's perfect, beautiful moments in their life all the time. And we look at that and we go, my life isn't like that. And now I just have anxiety because I'm comparing myself to them. And the Bible already tells us that those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Don't be unwise. Be inspired. Celebrate the wins in your friends' lives, but don't get into FOMO where you're trying to like, okay, how come, like, that constant comparison will begin to rob your peace and your joy. So we're talking about this missing peace. If Jesus gave us this peace, then where is it? Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So with simplicity and with incredible wisdom, we go to point number two. Jesus singled out the two things that steal our inner peace: worry and fear. Right there. He said, I'm giving you this peace, but you're going to have to contend for it in a certain way. You're going to have to be a steward. You're going to have to be the gatekeeper of your own life, and let not your heart be troubled or worried, and not let it be afraid. We've been given peace, but many of us also have an open door policy with the things that come to steal our peace. They just freely come in whenever they have a key to the house, a key to the door of our heart. Whenever worry wants to come in, middle of the night, middle of the day, whenever we're like, I'm going to give you my full attention right now. And as we do that, we're giving our peace away. The peace Jesus gave us as our inheritance. We've won the lottery, but we're like one of those crazy people that wins the lottery and then we're broke, you know, a year later, and we're living on the street because we didn't know what to do with our inheritance. Come on, somebody. So that might be a little bit extreme, but you understand what I'm saying here. Just trying to make a point. The words of Jesus were this. Everyone say, let not. That means you have authority over your own life. You can say access denied to worry and to fear and the lies that bring worry and fear to eat away at your peace. So they can't come and go as they please. You know, when we're looking at worry, whether it's the language of anxiety or stress or depression or despair even, worry is the source of so many of our heart's troubles, and it's the thief of peace. So when Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, he was saying, you have a choice in this. You need to know that you are a powerful person with a choice, and you can exercise that choice, and you can steward the peace in your life so that rather than giving worry and fear access to your life, you can remain in peace and let peace continue to grow and anchor you. Because when you have peace in your life, you are at your best, most innovative, most authentic, true,
actualized self, when you're there in the peace of God, anchored in the peace of God, that's when you're at your absolute best, and that's when you are really you. And when you have fear and worry operating in the operating system, something is hijacking you, something is hacking you, and now you are not at your best self. There's an alternate program running in the background. It's taking your bandwidth. It's taking your resources. It's taking your memory, literally. And now you don't have the bandwidth to be all that God has called you to be. Am I preaching to anybody that uses a computer out there? Okay. Just to put it in technical terms. Access denied. Let not your heart be troubled. You can, and I'm going to talk about self-control, and you can see that on the next page there. Part of self-control is that I control what comes in and out of myself. Like, you can't, we said this a million times, but it's so true. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. You can't guard yourself from every single thought that comes in and out of the atmosphere that you hear or see or whatever, but you can choose how you're going to respond to that and what you are going to do with that. We have a choice. It's really a powerful thing. You're not a victim of worry. You're not a victim of fear. You're powerful. Yeah. We're talking about inner peace here, but we're talking about how there's a struggle and there's things that we can do in the process to grow in that peace, and that's really, really good news. So you can take away the house key that you've given worry and fear to come and go as they please. You know, in John 10:10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So when we start to see things that steal from us, we know that they have a source. That's working in league with the enemy. That's how the kingdom of darkness works. And it's like this. Like, the Lord is wanting to bring a security upgrade to your life. Okay? Like, the devil is a hacker. And he's trying to introduce a virus, a program, malware, that will gain access into the accounts of your life and drain all of your resources. And he'll introduce whatever virus he can to hack your faith and your peace and your hope and get that spinning wheel of death on your screen that just gets you stuck. That's what we call it on a Mac, when you have the rainbow on your screen. Okay, yeah. And you have to do a hard reboot. It's a bummer. Yeah, you lose all your work. Ouch. Yeah. Scripture says, be anxious for nothing. I was reading something that Pastor Irwin McManus wrote. He wrote this. I know that what he means when he says be anxious for nothing is that we should not allow anything to make us anxious. But the truth is that it is usually nothing that is making us anxious. Our anxiety, our distress, our worry, when stripped to its very essence, is rooted in nothing. Or at least nothing we can control. Paul's solution, of course, is to be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer, we should bring our thanksgiving to God. It seems that he's telling us that anxiety comes when we try to control things that are out of our control. We become anxious because we haven't learned to trust. That's a good word. We start to have anxiety when we try to control things that are out of our control. And in that place, worry begins to steal our peace, and when peace is missing, we find ourselves overwhelmed. You know, here's the thing. When peace is missing, the peace that you're meant to be anchored in, almost immediately you feel overwhelmed by almost anything. And it doesn't matter if you're like a high capacity or high energy person, or maybe you don't have as much energy, or you're somewhere in between on that spectrum. When you're missing your peace, you feel overwhelmed by things that should not normally overwhelm you. That's how you know your peace is missing. When a small thing is really freaking you out, you need to get back anchored in the peace of God that belongs to you as his daughter, as his son. Can you say amen? All right, so we don't like things that come and steal. And John 16:33, Jesus said this as well about peace. He said, these things I have spoken to you that in me you might have peace. Somehow the King James squeaked into that verse, that ye might have peace. Okay. Whoops. Check this out. The Word of God. We're going to close with this in a few minutes when we get to point three, but I want to just highlight for you something so powerful. when we feed on the Word of God, when we feed on His faithfulness, when we meditate on the Word, there is, Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. His words connect us to Him, and His words activate the shalom and the peace of God deep within our spirits. One of the things one of the weapons we have to stay grounded in unshakable peace, peace with ourselves, peace with God, peace with others, is to stay anchored and grounded in the Word of God. But he goes on to say this, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Take heart. We did a whole series on that. Take heart. I have overcome the world. So we have this important contrast. First he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Then he says, in this world you will have trouble. The struggle, right? I told you, there's a struggle. Jesus wasn't saying, rainbows, unicorns, butterflies, no struggle. He was saying, no, there's a struggle. Are you going to let the world define your peace, or are you going to let me anchor you in my peace? Which one is it going to be? So we have no control over the reality that in this world we will have trouble, but we do have control over whether we allow our hearts to be troubled. We don't control whether or not trouble is going to happen in this world all the time. We can't control circumstances, and any attempt to do so is going to greatly increase our anxiety, greatly. But you can, and I'm not saying be passive and who cares and you can't make a difference. I'm not saying that. I hope you see the difference. But it's just having a revelation that there are things that are out of our control, a realization, but we do have control over whether we allow our hearts to be troubled. And that's where I want to take a moment to just talk about self-control, because self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Whether you think of all nine characteristics in Galatians 5 as being all aspects of one fruit or their nine fruit, doesn't matter really to me. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the produce of the Spirit in our lives. Peace is number 3, self-control is number 9. They fit together. And I want to show you how they fit together. Okay, first of all, I can't always control the circumstances I find myself in, but I always have a choice in how I respond to them. That's what self-control means. I have a choice to respond in a powerful way to every circumstance in my life. I'm never a victim of my circumstance. That response can bring an increase to my peace or disrupt it. Second thing about self-control, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's an inside job. Self-control, it's not about controlling. Right built into that definition of self-control, there's several truths built into this definition of, you know, what I meant to control and what I can't control. I can't always control circumstances. I can't control others, but I can control me. It's an inside job. And if I'm trying to control others, the more I try to do that, the more I'm going to spin out into chaos in my life. And 3, peace does not come because you finally have control over life circumstances. Peace comes when you no longer need control. Ooh. All of us that are a little more prone to control, a little more prone to having everything, quote, decently and in order, that statement is like, that's sending shivers up my spine right now. Like, wait a second. Wait a second, Pastor Caleb. What about, you know, all these verses in the Bible about, you know, having things, doing things with excellence and in order? Yeah, they're not a contradiction, but we just need to be like, okay, there's a place in my life where I need to surrender. And until I do, I'm going to be anxiety prone. So Jesus also said, you know, those two things. Basically, don't let your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. So he's addressing both worry and fear. Fear is also, we've talked a little bit about worry. Fear is also the enemy of peace. And if worry wars against our peace, fear maybe is even a greater foe. Because when we let our lives be afraid, it starts to create chaos. And here's the thing about fear. If we can contrast fear and worry for a moment, and these won't be on the notes, but they'll be up on the screen here. Worry will rob our joy, but fear will actually steal our freedom. Now, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? So the measure we allow worry in is the measure we're going to give our strength away. And that's bad. But fear actually steals freedom, because what we fear begins to establish the boundaries of our freedom. And I begin to limit my life to the things that I'm not afraid of. And once I yield to that, now I'm letting that definition get ever smaller until I'm closed in all around me and really living bound by a spirit of fear. Now, there's very specific fears, and there's like, so fear has a direct object usually. Like, I'm afraid of something specific, like public speaking or rejection or spiders or heights or whatever, roller coasters. Usually there's something specific with fear, but worry, anxiety is fear without an object. Let me explain that. It's like worry, I have such a habit of worrying. Sometimes I don't even know what we're worried about anymore. I'm just worried. And if I'm not worried, I'm worried about that. Why am I not worried? What's going to happen next? Ah. And it's just like this, it's an atmosphere, right? It starts to spill over and color everything with its atmosphere. Jesus is telling us directly, do not allow that, disallow that in your life. That is not the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. So when we have peace, we have both the strength and the courage, both the strength and the freedom to live the lives we were created to live. I want you to see how important peace is. It's not just number three in the fruit of the Spirit, just worry about love and joy, peace, it's okay. Listen, peace is really important, because when we're anchored in peace, again, we have the strength and we have the freedom to live life as we were intended to live it. We can't pick and choose the fruit of the Spirit. If we have the Spirit, all of that fruit is going to develop, and all of it is complementary. You know how there's some things you put in your garden, like I learned that I need to plant onions with my tomatoes because the bugs that like tomatoes don't like onions? You guys know what I'm talking about? It's like that with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have peace, your love and joy are going to diminish too. If you don't have self-control, your peace is going to diminish. We don't get to pick and choose the fruit of the Spirit. Hey, I'm really like a meekness and kindness guy. You can be a love person. No, no, no. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, all of the fruit are going to be developing simultaneously. They are symbiotic. They are complementary. They all cause increase to come to the other. Amen. So, Jesus wants to restore the missing piece. That's point three. Jesus is here to restore. He wants to restore your inheritance, that missing piece in your life. The shalom that is God's intent for all of creation, it starts on the inside. The path of peace. It's interesting. John the Baptist, the prophecy over him was, in terms of introducing the Messiah, was bringing people out of darkness into the path of peace. And that's not from the outside in. Remember, that's from the inside out. Luke 17, 21, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. I want you to tell someone, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. It's an inside job. It starts on the inside. And again, when we're living with inner peace, our most creative and truest and authentic selves, that's the best of who we are is going to be released. It's going to be activated. So we're getting back to this missing piece. Let's look at Isaiah 26, verse 3. How can we do that? What does the Bible tell us? Isaiah 26, 3. Look at this promise. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I was doing some studying on this, and literally perfect peace in the original Hebrew is shalom, shalom. It's shalom twice. You know, shalom means complete, whole. It's like shalom being used as an adjective for shalom. Because there's no better word to describe peace, perfect peace, than complete, whole peace. But I was thinking about this, and to me it also is like double peace. It's peace for the head and peace for the heart. This verse talks about our mind, and a mind that's fixed on him, and also a heart that trusts in him. You know, that's like perfect peace comes to the one whose mind is fixed on you and the one who trusts in you. That's, to me, trust is a word of the heart, not just the mind. what I'm trusting, I'm leaning into, I'm putting my confidence in, I'm hoping in the Lord, I'm leaning on the Lord, I'm taking refuge in the Lord. Trust is a heart word, thoughts are a mind word, and the shalom of God is both for our heads and our hearts. If worry, we could even talk about worry being more of a head thing and fear being more of a heart thing. God's peace addresses both. He wants peace in our minds, peace in our hearts, and his peace is perfect for the one whose mind is fixed on him and whose heart trusts in him. He releases peace for both. Now, let me remind you of something here. If you know how to worry, what do you know how to do? You know how to meditate. Well, I don't know. I don't know about meditating on the word. That sounds pretty hard. You already know how if you know how to worry. The thing that you're obsessing about, contemplating, ruminating over, mulling over in your mind, it's the tape that's playing, the thing that you can't stop. Change the song. Change the tape. Put in a new MP3. Play a new track. Make a new playlist. You can put something different in there, and you can start listening to that. I love sometimes listening to new music, a new album comes out, or somebody plays something, shows me a song. I'll find many, many times in the middle of the night, that song is playing in my head. You know, if you go to bed with the Word of God on your mind, it's like the last thing you do before you go to sleep at night, or you listen to worship music before you go to sleep, you're going to have, the sleep that you have is going to be a lot, it's going to be a lot more spirit-filled, it's going to be a lot more restful. I've just found that we have a choice for what we allow in, and that's what these verses are telling us, okay? It's affirming what Jesus said already. So, of course, if you are dealing with fear, you also know how to have faith. It's just faith in the wrong thing. Because if you really believe something bad's going to happen, you're starting to experience all these emotions around that. Yeah, you know how to believe. You just got your faith is in the wrong source. Put your trust in the Lord. You know, if we're talking about worry that grows into anxiety, a great thing to do during Lent, I know that it already started, but you can jump in on this. I'm not saying the whole church is going to do this, but think about this. A lot of people like to fast something in Lent. Try going on a negativity fast. Honest to God, a negativity fast. To fast criticism, to fast negative self-talk, to fast negative sources of input around your life. To choose even sarcasm, I'm on a negativity fast. And tell me how you feel afterward. But don't just go on a negativity fast. Go on a positivity feast. Feast on the Word of God. Feast on the goodness of God. Feast on the promises of God. Feast on the good things and the good reports that are happening around your life. This idea of a negativity fast and a positivity feast isn't just something that we should be doing. It's good to do it as a fast because it brings a reset. But in the same way that going on a diet is not a substitute for a healthy lifestyle, going on a negativity fast isn't a substitute for just learning to walk negativity free, but it does help start the process. You see what I'm saying? You got to jumpstart it somewhere. Sometimes people are like, oh, I'm off my negativity fast. Woo! Dive back into the cesspool. No. No, it's a reset. It's a cleanse to get your reset and to get back on the right track. Come on, somebody. Okay, so negativity fast. I want to take you as you know, pretty much the final part of this today to Philippians 4. Because Philippians 4, we're talking about this missing piece. Jesus has given it to us, but where is it? There's several things here, five things I'd like to give you that develop and strengthen and grow the peace of Jesus in our life. Reading from Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." How am I going to get software protection on my heart and mind for this malware of the enemy? It's talking about it right here. This will be the security upgrade that you need. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard of and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So five things here. First of all, point A, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. To be anxious is to be full of care and concern and anxiety and worry. And instead of worrying about it, take it to the Lord in prayer and hand it over to Him. 1 Peter 5:7 says to cast your care upon Him, or to throw your care, to heap it upon Him because He cares for you. It's not saying, well, I don't have to worry because the Lord is worried. He's also not worried, but He does care for you. And you can take these anxieties and you can literally say, okay, Lord, I know I'm not meant to carry these and I will malfunction carrying these, so I'm going to give them to you. And some of you today, there's very specific fears and worries that you need to give to God. And it's going to be the key for getting your peace back in your life. Can you say amen? That's what He wants to, that's a very specific step you can take today. Point B is that in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So this is speaking about prayer, but it's a specific kind of prayer. It is with thanksgiving. And thanksgiving, as we practice thanksgiving in our lives, it is so intricately linked to peace. When we move into gratitude in prayer and move into gratitude in every area of our lives, what starts to happen is it creates a shield around us. It creates an attitude. It creates an atmosphere that worry and fear cannot thrive in. It doesn't grow in it. It's like certain things won't grow in certain environments or certain ecosystems. It creates an ecosystem in your life where fear and worry can't grow, but a lot of other really good things can grow in that environment of thanksgiving. Can you say amen? A couple more. C, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He'll protect your heart and mind from worry and fear and self-talk and mind loops that bring death and bring malware to your thinking. You'll have virus protection. You know, one of the things that virus protection software does, it identifies it so you can delete it. Most of the time, the reason we're affected by viruses is we don't know they're there. And then you run a program on your computer. It's like, you have these 17 viruses. You're like, ooh, I do? Okay, delete, 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 delete. Ah, my computer works. It's like that also in our walk with the Lord. He'll begin to guard our hearts and minds. We'll start to see, oh, wherever that came in, that thinking, that thought, that's not of the Lord. I'm going to give that over to God. I'm going to apply the Word of God to that situation. I'm going to reject that line of thinking. I'm going to embrace truth in that place in my life. I'm going to put off the lie and put on truth. And this peace that passes understanding, it's beyond your ability to calm down. It's not just breathing techniques, although that's fine. Do breathing techniques, do all of it. Do all that stuff, that's fine. But we're not talking about something that's just like, okay, I'm going to steady myself, I'm going to breathe. Start there, that's fine. It's His peace, though. He said, the peace of God, literally, the peace of God, the peace that Jesus gives to us, that will get activated. That will begin to come back in and guard your heart and mind and create that atmosphere of peace in your life. D, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. When it talks about that, it's talking about taking an inventory, focusing on these things, looking to the Lord and what He's done instead of, you know, stressing out over circumstances. It's the power of meditating on the Word, the power of testimony. And when people talk about mindfulness, hey, this is the path to mindfulness. It's not a journey to nothingness, but a journey to fullness. It's like the God of peace giving us, having our hearts filled and our minds filled with His goodness. And this goes back to Proverbs 4. We read this a while back, but Proverbs 4 says, fill your thoughts with my words. Remember we talked about Jesus said, I've spoken to you that your joy would be full. I've spoken these things that you might have peace. Fill your thoughts with my my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flow the wellspring of life. Fill your thoughts with my words. That's what it means to meditate. Fill your thoughts with my words. That's the command here that we see is a part of this missing piece and restoring it to our lives. And finally, E, as the worship team comes, whatever you have learned, received, heard, and seen, he brings a pretty big list here, right? The things that you have heard from me, received from me, seen me do, all the example of living in the word, now it's your turn. Do the word. Put it into practice in your life. That's what Paul is saying here in verse 9. The things which you have learned, received, and heard, and saw, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. It's incredible, but it's so true. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. There's something in our lives that gets so released when we step into doing the word. The peace of God gets released in our lives. It says right here. You might be in an area of your life where you're like, yeah, I need peace, but I don't really want to obey God. Listen, obey God and watch what happens in your life in that moment. Watch what happens when you surrender. Watch what happens when you give God that area and step into truth and step into obedience. Watch how the peace of God comes into that area of your life. It's incredible to see, but it's the promise of God. These five things are the absolute promise of God over your life to step back into peace and get back the missing piece that is absent for your life. And I want to encourage you and exhort you and really implore you today. Look at those things and say, okay, God, which one of these things can I do today? Which two of these things can I put into practice this week? I want to walk in your peace. I want to have inner peace, peace within myself. I want to have the peace that you've given me. Not just be theoretical, but be active and beautiful and huge in my life. Change the ecosystem of my heart. Change the atmosphere of Jesus. Change the atmosphere of my life. You came to give peace. You've given me peace. Lord, I don't want to live without it anymore. Let's stand up on our feet today. I don't want to live without it, Jesus. Today, as I said, there may be some worries and fears to lay down. I want to encourage you to surrender those things to God. Could be financial fears or worries or health worries or next step in life worries for career, for school, for college, whatever. It could be relationship worries, finding the right guy, finding the right girl. Man, I have seen fear of being alone lead people to some of the worst decisions of their life. Give that worry, give that fear to God. Don't let it rob you of your peace. Be a whole person. Be secure in Him and watch what the Lord will do. All of this circles back to Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Everything you need, it's a package deal. Let's pray today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this teaching today. Lord, thank you for our inheritance of peace. Lord, right now here in your presence, as we take some time to worship, we want to bring to the foot of the cross, we want to bring to you, Lord, those anxieties and those cares that are weighing us down, and that more than that are giving access for worry and fear to set the tone in our internal world. Father, today all across this room, I want to thank you that you, as our high priest, you have blessed us with your peace. Lord, it was